Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Takeda, we had the pleasure of speaking with Elias Jabbour, MD, a professor in the Department of Leukemia and the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, to discuss the use of TKIs in the treatment of patients with chronic myeloid leukemia and Philadelphia chromosome-positive acute lymphoblastic leukemia. In our exclusive interview, Jabbour discussed the optimal use of ponatinib in CML, recommendations for the treatment of patients with chronic phase CML who progress after second-generation TKIs, and data from the 2021 ASCO annual meeting with the combination of blinatumomab and ponatinib in pH-positive ALL.
CML has been transformed, actually, with the availability of tyrosine kinase inhibitors from a disease where the survival used to be short and only those who are lucky at a transplant to survive. Today, CML is a chronic disease where patients can expect to have a normal lifespan, provided they take their medicine and they respond well to it. We had first-line therapy, the first drug approved was imatinib. With imatinib, we had around 70% doing great, 30 to 40% not do so well for a reason of primary resistance, relapse, or compliance. Then we had the second-generation tyrosine kinase inhibitors as well, available and approved in a second-line and front-line. This, of course, improved the rate of responses compared to imatinib therapy, but there was no difference in survival. It means you can get your first drug and you can relapse. You can get second line and a third line and you do well. So despite the fact that you have multiple randomized trials showing faster and deeper responses, when it comes to survival, there was no difference because of the salvage therapy available, number one. Number two is we know with these TKIs, patients fail. And the reason they fail is because they acquire mutation, several mutations, but one of them is the toughest to treat is the T315I because it's at the gatekeeper site and it drives resistance to all TKIs available today. Therefore, there was a need for another TKI, a third generation TKI, that can suppress eventually this mutation or prevent the emergence of this mutation. This drug was called ponatinib. It's a very potent BCR-ABL inhibitor, suppress all kinds of mutations. Therefore, the drug was tried in what we call the PACE trial, which is a phase 2 multicenter trial in chronic phase advanced stage disease, and have shown significant activities in patients who failed multiple TKIs, where the rate of site CCYR or complete cytogenic remission was in the range of 50%, higher among T315I mutation patients. The drug was developed based on a phase 1, phase 2. The MTD was 45 milligrams per day, and that was dose given. Now, when you take a chronic medication and when the medication is not so selective, you expect to have some side effect. One of them that we've seen with both TKIs is cardiovascular problems, but of course, with ponatinib, this has been seen at a higher rate, 13% in the publications of vascular events, and among them, hypertension, stroke, angina, and so forth and so on. Therefore, when the drug was approved post two TKI failure, there was a change of the label by the FDA saying the drug should be offered where other TKIs are not indicated. And that led to confusion because that means after using every TKI or after using or just in case where the physician judge situation is difficult and warrant the use of ponatinib. Now, with the 45 milligram per day and the toxicities encountered, we knew from the PACE trial that when the dose was reduced, there was no compromise on efficacy. But there was significant reduction of the rate of vascular events. And that led investigators to design a new trial called OPTIC trial, where patients in chronic failure who failed multiple TKIs were randomized to three arms. It's a phase 2 randomized three arms. 45 all along, 45 and reduction to 15 milligram once a CCYR or BCR of 1% is obtained. 30 milligram a starting dose and reduction to 15 once the CCYR or 1% level of transcript is obtained, or 15 milligram all along. And the primary endpoint was the rate of PCR of 1% at 12 months. This was the OPTIC trial. The results were read last year. And in fact, the arm with 45 to 15 was the winner. In a way, there was a higher rate of responses seen across the board, and mainly among patients who had 15i as well, compared to the 30, 15, and 15, 15. Now, when it comes to side effects, of course, there was more vascular events in the 45 compared to 15, but not so increased compared to 30. But when you put in a balance efficacy safety, the 45, 15 was the winner. And therefore, today, we have data showing that when you start at 45, reduced to 15, you don't compromise on efficacy, but really you optimize on safety. And therefore, the FDA has granted a change of the label of ponatinib to be after 2 TKI failure. Now, people may say, in a third line therapy, I want to use pozolitinib or nilotinib or other drugs. Well, let me tell you, there was a meta-analysis that has shown in a third-line therapy, using ponatinib compared to dasatinib, nilotinib, or pozolitinib, in other terms, when you rotate second-gen TKI, ponatinib was always superior. In fact, the rate of CCYR was in the 50-60% range compared to 20-25% with other drugs. Therefore, today, my drug of choice for patients who acquired TT59 is ponatinib, and for patients who failed 2 TKIs is ponatinib. This is the best drug available to us today. Now, there was a question about to go for transplant or no transplant. I think in a chronic phase, if somebody responds well to ponatinib, they should not go for transplant. I will consider transplant only in the setting of failure of ponatinib or in case of recent vascular events where ponatinib will not be safe to be offered. Another idea I'd like to share with you and discuss is, we look at the safety and efficacy of ponatinib. If we wait longer to use ponatinib, means after failure of 5-4 TKIs, the efficacy will be lower and we compromise survival and the safety profile will be worse. Therefore, I think the best way to use ponatinib is in a post-failure of second-gen TKI. Do not rotate second-gen TKI. In my practice, ponatinib should be offered in patients who failed one second-gen TKI. Of course, if they get imatinib and then dasatinib or nilotinib, go to ponatinib thereafter, 45 milligrams per day, reduced to 15 once the response is obtained. And something very important, watch for risk factors for vascular events. Monitor very carefully, adjust them very carefully. Adjust hypertension, dyslipidemia by giving statin, aspirin for the risk for bleeding, dyslipidemia, diabetes, all this should be optimized to minimize safety concerns. Now, when it comes to Ph-positive ALL, it's a disease that it's so dear to my heart because it's what I do my work. Historically, a patient with ALL, Ph positive, used to have a survival of 10%. So at 20 years, 90% of the patient will die. And then with transplant was the only way to cure them, but the rate of cure with transplant was 30 to 40%. Then what we did, we had imatinib. We combined imatinib with chemotherapy, and later on, the dasatinib with chemotherapy, we've shown that the survival at 5 years is in a 45% range. But more importantly, patients still relapse, and they relapse because they acquired TP53 mutation, and they don't have the deep molecular response that we hope to obtain. So because of TP53 mutation and because of the lack of deep response, when we have quetiapine, ponatinib can improve the CMR rate and can suppress the emergence of TP53 mutation. Already, ponatinib has shown activity in refractory relapsed PH positive ALL as part of the PACE trial. So we embarked into a trial with the hypersibad and ponatinib. Ponatinib was given 45 milligrams per day at the beginning, but then after 37 patients treated, we had two deaths, unfortunately, from vascular events. We held the study. We amended the dose of ponatinib. We reduced it 45 the first 2 weeks, 30 milligrams from cycle two and onward. And once the CMR is obtained, we reduce it to 15 milligrams per day. We had almost 100 patients. We had no vascular problems encountered anymore. Treatment was found to be safe. But what we accomplished is that the CMR rate, the complete molecular remission rate, went up from 50, 60% to 85%. And the 5-year survival, 75%, which is unheard of. So what we used to be told, PH plus ALL is a bad disease. Today, PH plus ALL is the best ALL because we have a great outcome. Not only we show that, the standard of care was to go for transplant anytime you can. Now, in our study, 20 patients received transplant, and not surprising to us, but for a lot of people, those who did not have a transplant had a better outcome. The 5-year survival was 83%. That means ponatinib is practice changing in ALL where transplants will not be needed. Now, if ponatinib is so great, then the second question was, do we still need intensive chemotherapy? Maybe we can shift from chemotherapy to go something what they call chemotherapy regimen. Two trials were conducted, two of them reported, one of them published in New England, is the combination of oblimetimumab, which is bispecific engager, and dasatinib. In this study, patient received dasatinib for 3 months. After 3 months, blina was added for at least 2 cycles. The primary endpoint was CMR rate after 2 cycles of blina. The CMR rate was 40%, compared to 19% with dasatinib only. Patient on dasatinib for the first 3 months had emergence of TP53 mutations. But when you give a blina, you suppress these mutations. The 2 years update was reported at the last EHA meeting, and the 2 year survival is 88%. Now, we hypothesized that ponatinib will be better than dasatinib because we don't see emergence of TP53 occurring, and the use early of blina and ponatinib can be better. So we conducted the blina ponatinib trial that I'm leading, and we reported the result at ASCO and EHA this year, where 40 patients were treated. In the frontline, 20 patients, the rate of CMR is 85% so far, and the CMR after 28 days was 60%. So by far better than what you can obtain with dasatinib. And more importantly, we lost, unfortunately, one patient due to bleeding, but all responses are maintained. None of the patients treated receive a transplant. So it's a game changing where you offer the best therapy with no transplant, chemotherapy regimen, outpatient regimen. And I think that is defining a new standard of care in ALL. In fact, the activity of ponatinib was confirmed by other groups like the PTIMA from Spain. And when we did the propensity score matching comparing ponatinib to dasatinib, it was found to be superior. So no doubt in my mind that ponatinib is the best TKI to use in PH plus ALL. And the combination of blina and ponatinib, what we call chemotherapy regimen, is very promising and really I'm hopeful that we're going to cure this disease in the near future.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Takeda. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLive SOSS. on Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.